Sue.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Sue of 100 People You Should Know Radio Show on a rather bleak Monday morning, but it looks like the sun is just starting to peek out, so I hope everybody's going to get in a good mood once they see some sunshine and get out and get some fresh air today at some point. That would be really, really good for you, even if you're very, very busy. And let me see. I don't think I've got anyone on today, so I'll probably be letting you all go a little bit early. Let me have a look at my calendar here and let you know who's on. If not this show, then next on Friday. I'm on Mondays and Fridays at 10 in the morning, and you can listen also from the archives. And let's see. Yes, Michelle was supposed to be on today. She's Michelle Luna, Executive Director of Stewards of the Coast in Redwoods. If I can't get her on today, then I will definitely get her on for you sometime probably next week or the week after that, because she would be, I know, really, really great to have on. I was really excited about hearing from her. And I may have missed her call because I had some technical difficulties at the other end of this thing when I was trying to get my show up and running this morning, something that was not under my control. It was a little glitchy this morning. I will definitely do better next time. I will try getting on earlier next time and getting those little glitches out of the way. And I was on this wonderful hike yesterday. I really want to tell you all about it because it's something you should all know about, because you might want to go yourself. It was a sort of a workshop, and it was an all-day thing, and I did it. I went to this workshop in Fort Ross. So it was kind of a long drive, about an hour and a half, but it was definitely, definitely more than worth it, worth every minute of the drive. And I came away from it not tired out, exhausted, but actually energized from having been out in the sunshine and fresh air. It was really good exercise for me because I'm not in the best of shape yet. I'm still working on that. If you're following my journey, it's really quite a journey for me. It's been quite a journey, and I have far, far to go yet. And this was... In some places, the hike was a little bit steep. We did a hike to learn about things we had seen on slides in the classroom beforehand. It was all about things that grow native to Sonoma County that are useful in terms of being medicinal and or edible. And the guide also beforehand, or as an introduction to this, told us about a few that were poisonous, and you don't want to mess with them. And I have recently heard and learned that these are the ones that you want to learn about first. You want to learn what not to mess with before you start learning what you can use and eat and that sort of thing, because they'll stand out in your mind that way really, really well, because you'll be saying to yourself, uh-oh, can't touch that one, nope, can't touch that one, can't eat that one. And those are really going to stick with you. And they, I'm not sure, but I'm under the impression that there are somewhat fewer toxic plants than there are. No, that's probably wrong. I don't even want to say that. I don't want to put that in your head because it's probably wrong. We learned that houseplants are generally toxic. So you want to find out what's native and good to eat and good to use for medicine, and maybe consider planting those in your house and around your house instead of the usual toxic ones that we all tend to plant. And, if it were me, if I owned this property, I would even consider, instead of having a plain old lawn, I'd consider planting something there that I could eat. And a lot of things look like horrible weeds, and you want to dig them out of your lawn and throw them over the fence into the woods, or burn them or whatever, or put them in your compost pile. But a lot of those, like milk thistle, actually edible if you cook it. It's very prickly to the touch, but if you cook it properly, it's edible. And things like that are actually good for you. And there's one, there are a lot of things in the mustard family. There are a lot of things in the sunflower family. And not everything from the same family is good to eat or use or touch. So you want to really go to somebody who really, really knows, somebody who's been doing it for years and years and years and knows what they're doing, knows how to test for edibility and medicinal efficacy and toxicity, because you don't want to read just one book. You don't want to go to just one person who hasn't been dealing with this kind of thing, herbal lore and botanical studies, for a long, long time, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and there are a lot of very inexpert people out there, and there are a lot of people who read maybe two or three books and then write their own, and they're just regurgitating something they've read, and they haven't researched the credentials of the author very well. So what happens is they're regurgitating maybe bad information, maybe they're regurgitating what they think is good information. They think they're regurgitating it correctly, and it comes out being written incorrectly, or written not very well, so as to give a wrong impression about something. So you want to be really, really careful about what you pick and eat out in the wild, and definitely have an expert check it out first if you're interested in this sort of thing, as I am. And this class was great because the guide and teacher did not overwhelm with lots and lots of information. He gave us just a taste of all sorts of information, so you could kind of assimilate what works for you to assimilate. And we had, you know, our pens and paper so we could write things down, and he allowed us to snap pictures of things, and he has a PDF that he can send out to people who want it. Maybe it has some pictures, I think, that go along with it. And so it was really, really fun. And then we went on a sort of a nature walk, and he showed us some of the things that were in the slides he had showed us in the classroom families. Like, did you know that thistles are all in the sunflower family? Pretty much all thistles are in the sunflower family. I don't want to say all are definitely in the sunflower family every time, because there's always an exception to every rule, including this one. And my father-in-law really loves that expression, or something very similar. It means the same thing. I'm trying to remember how he said it. I think he said something about all generalizations are false, including this one. And it stands, the same thing holds true also for rules. Pretty much every rule has an exception, except for this one. But, you know, just bear that in mind. All, you know, not all plants from the same plant family are going to be good to eat or use or touch even. There are some mushrooms that if you touch them and then you rub the spores in your face, you can get a pretty bad reaction. Or if you even breathe the spores of that mushroom, you can get a bad reaction. And there are people, you know, who can eat certain plants and be healthier for it, and there are other people who can eat certain plants and get dead because they're allergic to it. So be very, very careful, you know, an allergy to a particular plant or plant family. It's just like any other food allergy if you're talking about eating it. So be careful, but I do highly recommend this class because it was really, really fun. His name was Tyler, and I will put the rest of his information in my next blog because I don't have it right in front of me. But I took this class at Fort Ross just yesterday, so if you call them and you want some information about Tyler and this class on edible plants, edible and medicinal plants, you can call them. I'm sure they'll have some information they can give you. And I will put the information out in my blog as well, because it was really, really a fun class. The hike was beautiful. It was a beautiful sunny day. We went up and down some slightly steep trail, but you can handle it. if I can handle it, anyone can handle it. We crossed a creek, and we went up into a grassy field, and the whole thing was just a gorgeous, gorgeous day, and it was on the coastline. So in order to get there, I took this hour and a half long drive that started, say, well, your best route is really just to stay on East Washington till it becomes Bodega, and stay on that till it becomes Valley Ford, and stay on that till it becomes Highway 1, and go through the little town of Valley Ford, and go through Jenna and Bodega until you get to Fort Ross Conservancy Center. It's really interesting because as we started off on our hike, we walked around the back of the building and passed a fortress that I think has been revamped a little bit to make it look old. And it was very cool, and the guide explained to us how different types of plants grow in different climates and in different situations a little bit, and how some plants can pick up the toxicities of plants around them or of streams because of what we dump into the stream. So if you're going to pick a plant that's growing next to a stream, you want to be sure it's not growing next to a stream that's flowing right by a factory that's dumping horrible toxic waste into it, because the plants will all absorb that, and then a lot of them will become toxic and can kill you that way, even if they weren't toxic to begin with. Now, to my way of thinking, if you want to eat some plants, grow them yourself, because then you can control the circumstances under which they're growing, and you know they're not going to be toxic. You're not going to put in herbicides, and you're not going to put in pesticides. You're going to water them efficiently so that the roots don't grow mold. So if you want to eat it, grow it yourself so you know what it is, so you know what it's next to, so you know where it's been, so you know what's been put into it, and grow it with love, and you'll be eating love. And it's going to be very, very good for you. A lot of people love to walk and forage. I think that I am looking forward to a lot more walking and foraging in my lifetime, hopefully with some experts for a while first, because it's healthy to get out and walk and pick your own food. You're out in the sunshine and fresh air, and you're picking hopefully in a really pristine place, and you're exploring and you're learning where your food comes from and what grows around it and in what situation and climate it grows and just all sorts of things. And this is fun and this is healthy. And I wish I had been able to share all this not only with you but also with the people who are most important to me in my life, because I think they would have really loved it. And I'm going to take them out and do that with them at a later date. And we've been talking about that. And I'm going to take them out there for my birthday. My birthday is actually on the 7th, and we're not going to go on the 7th. We're going to go on the 8th out somewhere looking around and just learning. And we're not going to eat what we pick. We're going to look at it and study it, and I'm going to try and remember what I learned today. And you don't want to pick just anywhere either, because there are some places that are protected. There are preserves or conservancies or state parks, and you can get in big trouble for picking there without a license. You might be able to get a license in some circumstances and pick to a certain extent. And keep in mind always what my guide and teacher told us, that what is legal is not always what is ethical. That bears repeating. What is legal is not always ethical. So please, when you go out and you pick and you harvest, please, please, please do it in an ethical manner. Leave a little bit so it will regrow later. Leave a little bit for the next person. It doesn't make a lot of sense maybe that there's clear cutting going on and people are licensed to do clear cutting, and yet you and I are not allowed to just go and pick a little bit anywhere we want. That makes absolutely no sense. It's another case of what is legal is not ethical. But if we were all to go out and pick whatever, whenever, and as much as we wanted, then we would have no more, because per square foot, there are a lot more of us people here in the United States than there are in Canada, and Canada is a lot bigger than the United States in terms of area by square foot. And so there are just too many of us to go out and everybody pick as much as you want, anywhere you want, at any time, because then it would just all be gone and it would not regrow. There are some things that regrow from spores, and there are some things that regrow from seeds, and some things that regrow from bulbs, and some things that regrow in other ways. I'm really not an expert. As I said, this was my first, well, I didn't say it, but this was really my first such class. And it was so great that I fully intend to go out and take more of these classes and learn even more. Tyler, who was our teacher and guide, he actually teaches a class on picking these things and processing them and turning them into different types of medicine. And he had a handful of tinctures there to show us. And he wasn't selling them. He was just showing us what can be done. He was showing us all the possibilities. And I know that there are a million billion possibilities, because I use essential oils, and I say that there's an oil for everything. And so far I've just found that to be true, with no exception to that rule. And you know, oils are great. They also come from plants. And if you're really being ethical and sticking to your very good values, you're going to look for the companies that sell those oils in an ethical manner, that harvest them cleanly without herbicides or pesticides, so they're going to be healthy. But keep in mind that usually in the distilling process, the oil comes out from that process being very clean. So pretty much any oil that you see on the label, it says therapeutic grade, it's going to be a good oil for your use. It'll be medicinal. It'll have all sorts of beneficial health value to it. And I can tell you more about that another time, because we only have about 5 minutes left, and I was going to let you all go a little bit early, as I have no guest speaker here today except for myself. And I know it gets a little old listening to me go on and on forever, but I hope you've had a really good time today hearing about my hike of yesterday. And I hope that you'll all get out this spring, hopefully starting now, and really enjoy our great outdoors, because California is actually the state with the greatest diversity of plant and plant life and trees per square foot. It's really interesting, because we have such different climates right here in Petaluma, and such different types of land. Okay, so I will let you go and find out a little more about all that yourself. I just wanted to give you a little taste today, like he gave us yesterday, just a little taste to get us started. And now get started on a wonderful week. And I will talk to you all again on Friday on 100 People You Should Know radio show at 10 in the morning. So tune in again, 10 in the morning, to 100 People You Should Know. My name is Sue Hirsch, and you can also listen from the archives. Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.